Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
And for just a dollar or two, you can get your game on. Please remember, play responsibly.
It's time, Memphis. Join Jaren Jackson Jr. and your Memphis Grizzlies Thursday, August 7th at 3 p.m. as they tip off in the Orlando bubble against Oklahoma City. Presented by Bass Pro Shops. Catch Grizzlies live, presented by Ford and your Mid-South Ford dealers on Fox Sports Southeast starting at 2:30. Check Grizzlies.com for more info.
The home of the Jeff Calkins Show. Weekdays 9 a.m. till 11 a.m.
And honestly, it's what in the early days of the golf tournament. I mean, early in the week, I often write about that kind of stuff. You know, I spent a day making Prano Pups. And those are harder than you think, by the way. Mine always had a little bit of a wonky end or,
a little twist at the end.
When you swirl the thing to give a little twist at the end, my whole wiener would become lumpy, as it were. You should save that as a
phrasing.
Live on 92.9 FM ESPN and on radio.com.
Reaching out to a friend about their mental health can feel awkward, which is why it helps to have something to break the ice. You could go for a walk or grab a slice of pizza. And if you're not driving, you could even use this commercial break to text them. See? That was easy. Reach out to a friend about their mental health. Find more ways to help at seizetheawkward.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council, American Foundation for Suicide Prevention, and the Jed Foundation.
Broadcasting live from the Triumph Bank Studios, invested in our communities, making banking easy for you. Let's talk growth. Triumph Bank. It's the Jeff Calkins Show on 92.9 FM ESPN.
You may find yourself living in a shotgun shack, and you may find yourself in another part of the world, and you may find yourself behind the wheel of a large automobile, and you may find yourself in a beautiful house with a beautiful wife, and you may ask yourself, well, how did I get
here?
Now, it's Chris Harrington from the Daily Memphian on the Grizzlies and beyond. Every weekday around 10 a.m.
Chris Harrington joins me now. Chris, what are we listening to?
And you may ask yourself.
That is, of course, Once in a Lifetime by the Talking Heads. Later on in the song, David Byrne repeats the refrain, same as it ever was, same as it ever was. And that to me is about all there is to say, although I'll try to say more to you about the Grizzlies games in the bubble.
Yeah, not perfect. By the way, are you voting today? Have you voted today? It is election day, isn't it? Today is election day.
It is election day. I have not voted. I'll probably do that on my way home this afternoon.
What are we voting on?
That's a good question. It's hard to say. It's a local primary election, and there's no mayor's race, and so I think a lot of people are probably not entirely sure.
I will tell you, like, I have no idea. I do know that I'm not voting on whether police should have to live in Memphis or not, because that was that going to be on today's? It couldn't have been on today's.
No, that was going to be on
later. Yeah, that was going to be later. So what do you think about that, by the way? So the plan was, let's vote on let's give the folks. Right now, you have to live in the city of Memphis, I gather.
Shelby County.
Shelby County.
It used to be Memphis, and now it's Shelby County.
Okay, you got to live in Shelby County if you're going to be a police officer. And the point was, they were thinking of loosening that requirement and leaving it up to the people to vote. And the city council said, yeah, no, we're not going to give that to the people to vote on. We're going to keep it as it is. I didn't tell you I was going to ask you about this. Once again, as same as it ever was,
It was the lead. It was the lead thing I wrote on in my column today.
I haven't read your column today. I've been actually writing a column. That's exactly right. So, okay, good, perfect. Let's discuss it. What do you say?
I feel like there's a compromise in terms of the substance on what the residency rule should be, which is somewhat separate from the question of the referendum. I thought there was a compromise out there that might make sense. The thing about the Shelby County thing is, like, it's not – I mean, one thing it does is it, like, you know, keeps tax dollars, you know, that you're paying police officers in the county, and I don't think that's a small consideration. But it's not really reflective of the way Memphis as a real thing works. Like, if your concern is that you live close to where you police, you know, you could live in West Memphis and be closer to where you police than if you live in, like, the east end of Shelby County, right? And so, but the rule that the law that they wanted to change it to was to make it a 50-mile radius. And to me, 50 miles is a long ways. I do think residency matters. I do think it is preferable to have your police officers living in the communities they police. I think that should be preferable. And the point I made in my column today is, you know, I went back to the George Floyd thing in Minneapolis, and I'd visited the site this summer when I was there. My friends in Minneapolis told me, like, oh, the police department is really estranged from the community, and that was true before this George Floyd thing happened, and that's partly why it became such a big deal, and why, you know, the city council in Minneapolis has been so forceful in trying to change their policies, is because the police department is estranged from the community. And, like, it turns out that's totally true, at least in substance, because only 8% of police officers in Minneapolis live in Minneapolis. You know, I think we should be wary of going down that road. And so, you know, I think it should be a preference to have police officers live in the communities they police. How you get there and how stringent the rules are, I do think it's complicated. In terms of the city council voting not to have the referendum, I think that's an easy thing for people to get mad about. Like, why can't the people decide? But I believe in a Republican form of government. I believe in representative democracy. I believe that we elect people to deliberate and make decisions based probably on more information than voters will have on an issue-by-issue basis. So I am not someone who's crazy about public referendums and a lot of stuff. I believe in electing representatives and having those representatives do the work.
This is exactly a point that I made back when the Grizzlies were moving to town, is that everyone – here's the truth. The people who generally – very little of this argument is ever based on the actual form, that the people who want a referendum really believe in referendums as opposed to representative government. They just think they know how the referendum is going to turn out, and so they want a referendum. It all depends on what you want the answer to be. So the people who, quote-unquote, wanted a referendum on the Grizzlies, and I expect want a referendum here, they wanted a referendum on the Grizzlies because they knew that FedEx Forum would be voted down. And they want a referendum here because they know that, or they believe that people will say, yeah, police officers can live outside of Shelby County. It's not that some people fervently believe in referendums as a form of government. They just believe in this is our way to kill this, to not have to pay for FedEx Forum. And I thought it was gutsy. We elect people to make decisions based on their sense of what is right and true, and that's what they did on behalf. And so some people said that the Grizzlies were shoved down the community's throat, and very clearly there was a leadership that wanted the Grizzlies to come here, both business and political and whatever. But, like, then fine, vote them out. Vote someone else in. This is exactly – I'm with you. I don't care if there's a referendum or not. Now, it's in the other part of this interesting question is – the mayor wants 2,800, I believe the number is. He wants to build the police force up to 2,800. And that, of course, gets into the whole question about policing and whether, you know, whether that is the best way to promote public safety, to reduce crime, et cetera, which is a much larger debate. The mayor's point is, I'm not saying this should be this should be instead of social programs, but I have this study that tells me I need 2,800 cops. That's what I want to get to. Where are you on that?
He has a study that says that. I mean, you know, 2 years ago it was a different magic number, so the magic number keeps moving around, and you know, I'm not sure how much. I think there's a level to which more police is an article of faith rather than an article of evidence. you know, by this administration and the people around it. That doesn't mean they're wrong, but I do think there is an inclination towards just wanting more police all the time. If you do reading on the subject, the evidence is very equivocal. Like, you can find plenty of stuff that will tell you there's not a correlation between more police and less crime. You can find stuff that tells you that it is, and it's murky, as a lot of the stuff tends to be. What I find most persuasive is, are things I've read saying, yes, more police is good if you use them well, and that an increase in police needs to come with a reform in police policies and the job the police does, and also alongside other reforms, you know, around, you know, criminal justice issues that aren't necessarily policing issues in terms of prosecution and sentencing and all of that. But one of the things I wrote was that the call for more officers, I think, would be more broadly palatable if it seemed to be a component of a larger, more explicit change in how we're going to police and how we're going to prosecute and how criminal justice is going to work, instead of just a, we need more police.
Right. If they're just saying we need, and of course we're also going to do these other things, when you're not saying what the other things are. Let's see what the other things are in addition to wanting more police. Okay. Onward to the Memphis Grizzlies. I was struck. I think Taylor Jenkins was much happier with the effort yesterday, just from his tone in the post game. I think he was not pleased by the way the team came out in the first two games. Like, they were less than what they should have been, is what I get the sense. I think yesterday the fundamental message was, like, what the hell do you expect? That's who we are. That's what we got. I'm proud of the effort. And he really was proud of the effort. I think in games one and two he was not pleased with the way that things started.
Well, there was definitely a difference in the first halves of these games in terms of purpose, right? You can say effort if you want to say effort. Like, I'm not going to argue with you. But in terms of playing with purpose and cohesiveness and sort of a focused effort, you know, sometimes you get into a Joe Ingles, Grayson Allen shootout and you just catch the bad end of it, right? Like, this is what happens in the NBA. But I do think there was a difference yesterday in terms of cohesiveness right out of the gate. And the Grizzlies were playing with who had been their best player in the bubble. You know, when a team goes 0-4 and you actually have a positive point differential when you play, if Jared Jackson's the only player for which that is true, like, I think that does sort of tell you something. So they're playing without who had been their best player. They're playing against a good team. And, you know, you get to the fourth quarter, the other team has veteran players making plays and you don't. And it is what it is. And so that's why, to me, it's sort of a same as it ever was kind of thing. I mean, the Grizzlies have not been blown away. They haven't rolled over in these games. They've just gotten beaten by teams that are probably better than them in terms of what the players are that are being put on the floor.
Right. So one question, that's obviously what's happening at a macro level. Then there are micro questions beyond that I'm interested in. One is, the Grizzlies have, for all four games really, struggled to keep opposing point guards out of the paint. They were sliced up again yesterday. They were sliced up against Portland, et cetera. Is that they do not have all of their people. The truth of the matter is, though, when they dealt Jay Crowder, like, that was a, you know, he was a good defender, among other things. Looking at next year's team, how do you feel about, if it is as we think it will be, right, just this, basically, this team brought back, I think we'd seen some slippage defensively anyway before the break. What do you think about this team defensively?
Well, I think part of that story is the story of D'Anthony Melton has been a big disappointment in the bubble. I mean, Melton is the best, in terms of skill set and ability, Melton is the best backcourt defender on the roster. That's one of the reasons I made a case for him, you know, to have a bigger role at the front end, and because of that ability and because of the teams they were playing. And he has, I don't know why, I have no idea why, but he hasn't done it. He has not been the impactful player in terms of his defense, his rebounding, just all the stuff he does. He has not brung that in the bubble the way he was doing it in the regular season. And that's part of that story, that he has not been an impact defender the way he was in the regular season. And then on top of that, like, John Morant's not a good defender. Not right now. I think he'll get better. Like, Grayson Allen's not a good defender. He scored 20 points yesterday, but, like, Jordan Clarkson was cooking him. And so, you know, Tyus Jones is, you know, not a great defender, but, like, is a smart defender. And so, you know, you lose Tyus Jones. Melton really goes in the tank relative to what he was doing earlier. And then your personnel is just not that good in terms of what's left with Morant and Allen. And so, yeah, no, I think they have not been as good defensively, but, like, you know, those are some of the reasons, I think.
In terms of the things that we've learned, I think we've learned that Josh Jackson will be sailing on to other destinations at the end of this season.
It seems that way, although it also seems like if the Grizzlies want him back, they could probably do that, right? I don't think the 3-year $15 million or whatever offer is going to be coming from anybody.
Right. But then it's just take the others that we've sort of learned something about and the rotation moving ahead. De'Anthony Melton, do you think this will hurt him in terms of getting an offer? Do you think, what do we think of Grayson? Like, we are learning things about players who will be important going forward.
I would assume that if the Melton thing doesn't turn around quickly in these next four games, that it will impact his market. Now, he's still going to have, there are still going to be teams offering him a multi-year contract. I think the Grizzlies are still going to be a team offering him a multi-year contract, but I think it changes the number. Yeah, I do. I think if he continues to be a 15-minute-a-game guy off the bench who's not impacting games, I think some of the higher-end, and this is not just me talking, these were like national NBA people were like, you know, is he going to get a 4-year, 40-something million-dollar offer or whatever? Like, that's not going to happen if he plays like this in the bubble. And so it's sort of good news that it would probably lower the price. But you have to wonder, is, does it lower the price the Grizzlies are willing to pay, too? Is it going to change their mind? My suspicion is the Grizzlies are going to try to bring Melton back on a multi-year deal, and that, you know, that whatever they're stealing on what they're willing to do is, probably is not going to be exceeded by other teams. I do think it might make it more likely that Melton's back, not less, because I don't think the big offer is going to come.
And then, and Grayson Allen.
Well, Grayson Allen's under contract on the cheap, so that's good news.
That is good news.
So he's still on his rookie contract, but he'll be under team control for two more years on a good number. And if he, you know, we'll see on the shooting, right? It's been only a few games here. Grayson Allen has shot 67% from three-point range in the bubble. Like, he's not going to shoot 67% from three-point range next season. But could he shoot 35? Could he shoot 40? Like, I wouldn't rule that out. And if he can shoot in that range, that 35 to 40 range, as a three-point shooter, then I think you can consider him a rotation player for next season, which I don't know if you were doing before. And so I still don't think it's a guarantee that Grayson Allen's in the rotation for the Grizzlies next season, but I think he's certainly made it much more he's raised the likelihood of that and probably raised the degree to which the Grizzlies will consider that in their planning. Yeah.
Brandon Clark did not floor, as you correctly predicted, that is what Taylor Jenkins would do, would just be take the conservative approach and slide him into the starting lineup. That is what he did. He did not fare well. It's one game, whatever.
I said this before, that's not what I think they should have done. I would have done the Kyle Anderson thing and then started either Melton or Allen to be a little bit quicker and a little bit more shooting. I would do that.
Well, it actually makes you wonder now if he will, having tried this, if Grayson Allen will go in or De'Anthony Melton will go into starting lineup next time.
I would on Friday against the Thunder. I mean, the Thunder starts to believe, unless something's changed, they're starting to deal with Gallinari at the four, who's more of a face-up perimeter player. I think Kyle Anderson is a better defensive matchup on Gallinari than Brandon Clark, and then they play with multiple guards, and that is what I would do. I would start Kyle Anderson.
And obviously, one game, it does not impact in any way his performance yesterday. I do think all of this stuff it's good for them, though. Like, even failure is good for them. Don't you sort of believe that? I mean, I do believe that everything they're seeing here is good
for them.
Rather
than if the whole thing had gotten shut down and you're not playing any more games?
Yeah.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. This is all valuable for the Grizzlies.
Okay, and then the other question I had was, there are moments... So it's a moment that I highlighted and others have too. It wasn't like whatever. They're down five, second half, consecutive possessions. Jonas takes a three. Kyle Anderson takes a three. Those are the two shots they get after stops, okay? What do you make of the whole? So Taylor Jenkins believes in let the F fly or whatever the hell it is, right? Like that's like, and he wants people to expand their games and he wants Jonas to expand his game. And yet in those moments, it feels like, is that really the shot we want? How do you balance between we're trying to be this team that feels everyone empowered to take threes, et cetera, and a team that seems to be at crunch time taking shots that do not seem like good shots.
Well, you know, Taylor Jenkins comes from Mike Budenholzer's bench, you know, the head coach of Milwaukee. And Budenholzer has the reputation for being a guy whose outlook is, we have our system, we're going to create our system, and we're going to run our system. We're not hunting mismatches. We're just running. We're doing us, and us, what we do will win out. And it's worked beautifully in the regular season in Atlanta and now in Milwaukee. You know, they came up short relative to their seeding in the playoffs last year. So there's a little bit of a question hanging over Budenholzer, and maybe he'll answer it here in the coming weeks about, you know, does what you do underachieve in the playoffs? And I think Taylor Jenkins brings a little bit of that Budenholzer philosophy over of we're creating our style of play, and we're going to just play our style. I think that's a lot more defensible or a lot less questionable this early, because this team really is about trying to build a style and culture right now. It's not as much, the stakes are not as high on a game to game basis. And so I think that is something to keep an eye on as he evolves as a coach, as the Grizzlies evolve as a team. I don't think we're at the point yet where I'm all that worked up about sort of that specific sort of philosophical question in the fourth quarter of a game, especially, you know, I'm not dismissing it as something worth talking about, but it's not something I'm that focused on yet. But, right. You know, keep that in mind in terms of the Budenholzer thing and the way that works and those questions that are out there with him.
Oh, very, very clearly, nothing matters. I mean, in terms of particular the question is if it had been game six of an NBA Finals, would we have been focused on it? And I don't know what that would have looked like. I don't know if he would have felt differently. I don't know if he would have thought that was a good shot or not in game six of a NBA Finals. Or not. Okay. The other thing, I don't know. Do you think, by the way, they're going to get caught and passed by two teams? If they can win one game, I don't know that San Antonio or New Orleans are going to catch them.
I don't think, at this point, I don't take the Kings, Suns, or Spurs seriously in terms of a play-in. I think there's going to be a play-in. I think the Blazers are going to be one of the teams in the play-in, and I think the other team is going to be the Grizzlies or the Pelicans. And then the question will be, who's the eight, who's the nine? But I think the math will tell you the odds are very good the Grizzlies are in the playoff game one way or the other. And if I read this correctly, I was looking on a site today that had the odds of every possible scenario. And if I read the math correctly, they had it like an 84% chance the Grizzlies are in a play-in, either it's eight or nine. I feel like that overstates the case a little bit, having actually watched these games. But I think it's still above 50% probably that the Grizzlies are in a play-in with the Blazers. But they do probably need to squeak out a game. If they go 0-8, I think the Pelicans, there's a good chance we'll pass them. But if they can just win one more game, then I think their odds are extremely high of being in a play-in. Yeah.
Okay, and then finally, you do have your column up. I have perused it here while I've been talking to you. It is Return of the Memphis 10. And one of the fun things about what you've done here is the last five – seems to be a list, and I don't know whether it's going to be every Thursday a list, but I love the concept. And this is a list of your favorite catfish places ranked, and I don't know if they're ranked or if these are in no particular order, but you do have five. Is this an order or not?
Yeah, it's an order. I would say in a rough order.
All right, I'll go through them from five up to one. Here we go, and you can tell us a brief bit about each.
By the way, just to let people know, that's not a rant. It is apparently National Catfish Month.
It's not
just a random thing.
And we're not talking about Internet Catfish Month. Don't go out there and do that. Like, just eat catfish. Number five, Wolf River Cafe. What can you tell us about that?
Yeah, that's out sort of towards the Collier, that's technically, I think, in Rossville, but it's out sort of in the Collierville area, like going pretty far east. And it's like a little, like, you know, almost Country General store kind of feel. And, you know, nice atmosphere, nice sort of outside area, and good catfish. And sort of, you know, if you live in the city, it can be a nice little, I don't know about now, I don't know what the COVID situation is in terms of open and not open. I didn't check on any of that. But in the normal life, it's a nice little little excursion to drive out there and have some catfish.
Number four, Cook's Hollywood Fish Market.
Yeah, it's a fish market on North Hollywood, sort of in North Memphis. It's more of a takeout place. The thing about that is that you can get catfish steaks there, which you don't really find anymore. Mostly you'll find fillets. Someplace you'll find whole fish, but they do steaks, which is sort of cross-cut. And catfish steaks is what I grew up eating at my grandparents' catfish restaurant. So that was a nice little, you know, nostalgia trip for me to get catfish steaks there.
Three, Soulfish.
Yeah, I think we all know about that. You know, multiple locations, can't go wrong. Just really good catfish and good sides, and, you know, I think a pretty popular place.
Peggy's Healthy Home Cooking is number two.
Yeah, that should have been my answer yesterday when you asked me for my favorite comfort food in Memphis. I froze. I messed up on the question. But like a catfish plate at Peggy's with some candied yams and mac and cheese, that would probably be my number one choice for Memphis comfort food.
We do have to correct the record on mac and cheese. Jennifer, who was on here yesterday, said that you like your mac and cheese creamy as opposed to baked with a crust. This is not true. Fake news.
If it's not coming out of the oven, it's not going in my mouth on your mac and cheese. Yes.
And number one, Taylor Grocery.
Yeah, that's another. I mean, it's not in the Memphis metro, but it's only like, you know, less than an hour away. It's right outside of Oxford, Mississippi. And Taylor Grocery is a catfish cathedral. It's a one-room restaurant sort of out in the country a little bit. They'll have a live band playing. You can get great, like, whole fried catfish. That is a road trip worth taking, is Taylor Grocery.
Chris, thank you very much. Appreciate it. Talk to you tomorrow.
Thanks, Jeff.
That is Chris Harrington. I have in my hand the Memphis season ticket plan, which we will tell you about when we return, and we'll have Laird Veach on, the athletic director from the University of Memphis, to tell you about it as well. Back to do that in just a minute. It's Jeff Gawkinshaw, 92.9 FM ESPN.
I went to Triumph Bank the other day to set up an account. Met with a banker named Holly Bronson, and here's what Bronson told me. The first thing you need to do is put my number in your cell phone. I can't help you if you don't call me. Yes, she really said that. Are you as stunned as I was? But that's why Triumph Bank is a different kind of bank, because of people like Holly Bronson. She'd worked at other banks before Triumph, of course. Given the way that banks are gobbled up by bigger banks these days, she'd actually worked at five different banks. But those banks didn't deliver the kind of service that Bronson wanted to give her customers. So Bronson made the switch. And here's the thing. Nearly all of her customers made the switch with Bronson because they understood what a difference personal service can make. Bronson insists she's nothing special, of course. She rattled off the names of a whole bunch of bankers at Triumph who take their jobs and service as seriously as she does. But I can tell you, it's the first time a banker ever gave me her cell phone number. Triumph is invested in the community and in making banking easy for you.
Reaching out to a friend about their mental health can feel awkward, which is why it helps to have something to break the ice. You could go for a walk or grab a slice of pizza. And if you're not driving, you could even use this commercial break to text them. See? That was easy. Reach out to a friend about their mental health. Find more ways to help at seizetheawkward.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council, American Foundation for Suicide Prevention, and the Jed Foundation.
Hey, everybody, this is Coach Penny Hardaway. When I want to throw a party for friends or family, I want it to be a taste of Memphis, and that means Corky's Barbecue. Order online or call ahead and pick up at their speedy drive-thru. And be sure to tell them that Penny sent you.
Mr. Clean, Mr. Clean, Mr. Clean.
Most people know that Mr. Clean Magic Eraser removes crayon and scuff marks from walls, but did you know it even cleans tough kitchen and bathroom messes that are sometimes tough to tackle? Just wet, squeeze, and erase gray soap scum on your bathtub. Erase cloudy hard water spots in your shower. Erase burnt on stovetop messes. So for all your tough kitchen and bathroom messes, try Mr. Clean Magic Eraser.
Mr. Clean, Mr. Clean, Mr. Clean.
For muscle pain, body aches, to strains, Blue Emu Maximum Arthritis. It works fast and you won't stink. Its unique formula with Emu oil penetrates deep to relieve arthritis pain, sore muscles, joints, and more.
Ah, buying some pretzel sticks?
Excuse me?
This is your wake-up call from TracFone Wireless.
Okay.
What if you didn't eat all those pretzel sticks by the end of the month, so this store took them back?
Good luck.
That's how some wireless companies are with your data, but TracFone Wireless gives you unlimited carryover data with active service, so you keep what you pay for. Plans start at $20 a month.
Wow, that's cool.
Sir, are you bothering the customers?
Yeah, hang on.
This is your wake-up call, people. TracFone Wireless. Now you're in control.
See terms and conditions at TracFone.com.
What's hot for business this week at Staples?
Small prices, big savings.
Help your business go big with everything you need at amazing prices.
From office essentials like paper and ink to health essentials like masks and hand sanitizer.
This week at Staples, 8-ounce hand sanitizer is just two for $5.
Shop in-store, pick up curbside, or get free delivery.
Save big this week at Staples.
Ends 8/8/20. While supplies last, limits vary online. Curbside available in most stores. Free delivery limited time only. See staples.com for details.
Broadcasting live from the Triumph Bank Studios, invested in our communities, making banking easy for you. Let's talk growth. Triumph Bank. It's the Jeff Calkins Show on 92.9 FM ESPN.
All right, back on the Jeff Calkins Show, joined now by Laird Veach. Laird Veach is the athletic director at the University of Memphis. They have released their Keep Memphis Roaring campaign, which is what they're doing around season tickets. And Laird is joining us to discuss that and more. Laird, welcome.
Thank you, Jeff. I appreciate it. Thanks for the time today.
Why don't I just start by, because I think people really do want to know the guts of this first, I'm just going to leave the floor open to you and tell us what you all, obviously you released that you're planning on an 11-game season at this point. And then today you announced the season ticket plan or what you plan to do around ticketing as far as you can tell going forward. I'm just going to give you the floor for a minute. If you want to outline it, I'll ask questions after that.
Yeah, thank you, Jeff. I appreciate that. And there's quite a bit of information, so I'll try to be as concise as I can and kind of walk folks through it. But, you know, first of all, as you mentioned, we are announcing a campaign called Keep Memphis Roaring. Essentially what that campaign does is two things. One, it outlines options for season ticket holders to choose, which I will get to here in a second. And two, it really designed to help mitigate, hopefully, the financial impact of this pandemic and the impact for us as an athletic department, which I will tell you is, as we've shared before, is getting, you know, more and more dire and more serious and to a point where, as things are progressing, could really start impacting programs and people, unfortunately, at a higher level. But I will tell you on the positive side, at least we have a plan now. At least we have some hope, and we're excited at least to be able to push this forward and give it our best here. So, what will happen and what folks are receiving right now, our season ticket holders in their email inbox, is an outline that allows them to make decisions about their investment for football season tickets. So there's two different scenarios, as is shared and outlined there, and as you're aware of, Jeff, right now we're currently in a 12-foot socially distance requirement in the city of Memphis, and you know, that's as of now what we project. However, that could change, and there's a possibility it could drop down to 6-foot, which would allow for more folks. So basically what that means is we're going to have to, as of today, have 12 feet between seating groups, between ticket accounts, so up to 8 tickets or seats could be together, but they'd have to be 12 foot apart. If that reduces down to 6 foot, that allows the capacity to increase quite a bit. So those choices will be provided online in a Google document that'll really walk people through this very specifically. What that means under, if we're fortunate enough for it to become a 6-foot scenario, then folks will have a chance either essentially to opt in or opt out. So if we are fortunate to have that opportunity, we believe we can accommodate all the season ticket holders that have paid and committed by our previous deadline. And we'll be excited about that opportunity if that happens. And if they're not, though, if they're not comfortable with knowing, or they don't want to be in a different seat location, because we will have to reseat the stadium, right? So Everybody's going to be in different spots than what they've been in the past, unfortunately, but that's required to keep folks safe. And if they're not comfortable with that, they will have an option to opt out. And then if that happens, they basically go into the scenarios that I'll outline in our 12-foot scenario. Okay.
Okay.
So under the 12-foot option, which again is the most likely option or likely scenario, we're going to be unfortunately really limited in our seats, and because of that, we won't be able to take care of season ticket holders. And now, what we're going to ask folks then in that scenario is hopefully to choose option one, which is essentially to donate their tickets and parking and their Tiger Scholarship Fund revenues that they've already made and committed back to the athletic department. And we have some incentives, some nice incentives for them to consider for that. The most impactful incentive, I guess, is that they would be the only ones eligible then for single game tickets. So because our capacity would be so reduced, if folks are willing to donate that and help us through this time, then we'll make sure they get single game tickets to at least one game. And there's some other nice benefits. We're gonna give them four times the Tiger Scholarship Fund points. We'll freeze their season ticket price for next year, so that will be the same as this year, even though we'll have seven games and we'll be hosting Mississippi State. We have a little Cotton Bowl mini helmet we're gonna give them. We're trying to roll out all the stops. So that's the first option under the 12-foot scenario. And if they choose not to do that, they can credit those dollars to next year. But we'll give them 110% of the value of that towards their tickets for next year. Or, of course, you know, folks could choose to get a refund. And if they would like to do that, they just need to call the ticket office so we can walk through that process and make sure everybody understands the impacts of it. So keepmemphisroaring.com, and there'll be a link to options for folks. And I'm sure there's a lot of other questions, and that's a lot of detail, a big mouthful to start off, but that at least gives you the basics.
The essence of it, I mean, you said it's looking, the financial picture is, no matter what happens at this point, fairly dire. And what you are really asking folks to do is, if they care about the university, if they've gotten pleasure out of being connected to the athletic department, out of watching the Cotton Bowl or whatever, that this is a moment where you need them. I mean, simply put, isn't it?
Absolutely, Jeff. You said it very well, and I appreciate you saying that, because it really is true. We're at a point where, you know, as we've shared before, we've made some significant, very significant cuts to our operational budget. And really, at this point, given how lean we are as a department and how we operate, you know, frankly, competitively at a really high level with at a relatively low budget compared to many of our peers, particularly the, you know, peers in the, you know, Power Five, Autonomy Five type conferences. But at this point, it really is going to come down to the next round is going to have to impact people. It's going to impact, you know, jobs and salaries. And then it's really going to be a much more challenging type of next step on the financial end if we can't mitigate it at a pretty high level. So, yeah, we're asking people to try to help us. So we know there's a lot of needs out there right now, but, you know, certainly the success we've enjoyed, the momentum we've had here in recent years, I think people have really appreciated, and they know the impact it can have on the city and everybody involved with it. So we're asking folks that have been with us and have been season ticket holders, our core folks throughout, to help us once again at maybe one of the most critical times in our history.
You said that if it's 12 feet, the season tickets, the attendance will be lean. And I'm sure that depends on the size of the groups. If someone's a single season ticket holder and needs 12 feet around them, that's gonna take up more space than if someone's a group of eight. But roughly, how many do you think you can get into the Liberty Bowl at 12 feet?
So you said that well. Also, I mean, so the roughly is important because it does depend on how it all plays out in terms of exact numbers. But roughly, it becomes about 7% of the stadium. So it's around 4,500 seats or so, and understand that, you know, we need to take care of our students, and we need to take care of, you know, player guests, player families and recruits and, you know, other groups. So all of that 4,500 could not be used for ticket holders. It's probably more down in the 2,000 range, or maybe half of what is available at 4,500. So, It's still yet to be finalized, but you can see that the numbers get really, really, really small at that point.
And it's and you have I don't think you've ever released it, and I don't know did you want, but you've got more than 10,000 season ticket holders. That push, I gather, that you made in earlier this summer, people responded very well, and you're well over 10,000 season ticket holders at this point that you're trying to take care of. Is that right?
Yeah, we are. And you know, when we are well over, we think if the 6-foot scenario were to take place, we could be in the 15,000 range, which would essentially allow us to take care of all of our paid season ticket holders to this point, along with some of those other groups that we need to take care of.
I see.
So you know, it's a substantial difference, but yeah. In the end, you know, we gotta keep people safe. And in many ways, Jeff, this is so comparable to the, you know, struggle our country's been in terms of trying to balance the financial pressures with the health and safety pressures, and ultimately health and safety's got to win out, but the financial pressures are very real and they have very real impacts on people and lives. So we're trying to strike that balance.
In terms of the health and safety, obviously you're starting practice tomorrow. One thing I'm curious about is there's been this, obviously, you're going to do the best you can. You hope to get 11 games in. I had Dennis Dodd on earlier. I asked him to predict what would happen, and of course, he can't. Do you have any prediction? Like, do you think you're going to play 11 games?
I think it's hard if you're really frank and honest right now to look at this and think that you're going to be able to play every game without something happening. There's just so many factors, and you know, particularly once you start getting into just looking at the numbers and looking what happens when you need to go through contact tracing and, you know, appropriately quarantine players that at some point are going to get sick. And, you know, we're going to have this challenge. Now, I do feel really good, genuinely, about the efforts we're making, about the plans we have. You know, one of the things that did not get as much news and attention is that the American Conference also approved our medical guidelines as they stand today, which we'll have to, you know, continue to evolve as we learn more. But they're very stringent, and they're as strong or stronger than other conferences that are out there. And you know, I'm really confident that you know, in many respects, our student athletes are safer in our environment with the resources we have, the monitoring that takes place. You know, there's so much education and support for them. But in the end, you know, there'll be some that, again, just from a number standpoint, and that's going to have impacts on games. So if we're fortunate enough to have all 11 games, that would be fantastic, but there will be games, whether it's us or others that are impacted.
In terms of you mentioned the contact tracing, if someone tests positive and they have been, whatever, or hanging around other players, what is the procedure for those other players? At this point, do they have to be quarantined for 2 weeks, or what is your health procedure for them?
Yes. So they do per CDC guidelines. If they are in what's considered close contact, they would then need to be quarantined for 14 days. That's, you know, so if we have a student athlete contact that tests positive, then, you know, they'll go through the contact tracing process that everybody understands these days. And you know, so those other student athletes would need to be quarantined as well.
And is that a conference rule, a Memphis rule, a NCAA recommend? Where does that come from?
All of the above.
Is every school doing it? Is that your sense that every school, because the NFL is not, for example, doing that, is my understanding there. If you get two negative tests going forward, then you don't have to sit out for 14 days. But yeah. Is your understanding that like every school in the universe in the conference is going to be doing that?
Yeah, that is correct. From a conference standpoint, that will be the standard.
And how do you then? And we can talk to Ryan about this later on today. We're going to be talking to Ryan. But, like, do you not have offensive line meetings with the whole offensive line in case one of them comes up that you still want some offensive lineman to be able to play through the quarantine?
Yeah, you're starting to really dig into the intricacies and the challenges that are here. We're going to have to manage things differently than we ever have. And you know, that's why meeting space. So I went and saw the team last night, and they had a team meeting following, you know, a workout, and everybody's uh, in the in the indoor and chairs that are spread apart and people have their masks on and and they're going to have to, for individual meetings, think about those things as well and keep people spread apart, and manage that so we really lessen that risk. There's going to be risk and there's going to be close contacts and there's going to be impacts to that, but how we manage this is going to have a huge impact not only on the health and safety of our players, but on performance and how the team can do this year.
Is having spoken to the players, and obviously there's been a lot of attention placed on player concerns, which I'm sure are justifiable and understandable and legit. I also get the sense, and I'm curious, do you get the sense that most of the players want to play?
Absolutely. There's no question. That's the sense we get. In fact, Ryan, I know, has talked to the team, several times about this, and that was the gist of my conversation with them last night was just reminding them, hey, we're doing all this because, we want you to be able to play, and we believe you want to play. And if that's not the case, then we need to know that, right? We need to understand that perspective. I reminded them that if any of them are not comfortable, if they don't feel safe, and they just don't want to play because of that, and they we're going to honor their scholarship this year. We're going to continue to support them, and they don't have to play. It's something they need to know that. That we're not alone in that. We've had a lot of conference discussions about it. In fact, there was an announcement today, I believe, by the American that, similar to what the SEC and other conferences sent out, is that we're going to honor that. But if there's concerns, we got to know it, and that's what we just told our players here. We're open. And I will tell you, that's one of the, for me personally, one of the things that gives me a lot of comfort is we have a head coach like Ryan Silverfield. If you think back to, why we made that hire, there was a lot of reasons, and he's very well positioned. But one of the biggest ones is he had the trust and support of the players, and I really believe that that's incredibly important right now. He's doing a great job of managing it.
Will you announce when there is outbreaks, if players are affected, and have you had players quarantined in the last month?
Yeah, so I will give you, the update as it stands today. So the RL I got here a couple, three days ago, so there may be some adjustments to this. But my understanding, I think we've had a total of 473 tests to this point, across all of our teams that are here and on site now. And we've had 17 positives, and my understanding is all 17 of those are recovered. So we're in a pretty healthy spot right now. We've chosen not to just individually release or announce every time somebody gets tested positive, partly for, just privacy and, concerns for the student athletes. So we need to find that balance, but and protect them, but also, be open from a, from a public health standpoint and just letting our folks know how we're doing. But overall, again, I think we're managing it as well as we can. And, it really comes down to how these young people manage things off campus, right? What you're finding across the country is they're not contacting it at practice or in meeting rooms. They're contacting it, off campus and parties and other settings, right? That's what we're seeing. And it seems like our student athletes thus far have embraced that and are making good choices. I hope that continues.
All right. I'm going to give you one more chance. I do think I've said that, in the end, there are going to be enterprises that do not survive this pandemic, and that's true of businesses and restaurants and everything else. And I really do, if you care about restaurants here, order takeout from that restaurant and tip generously. If you care that Memphis Athletics continues to thrive, they are asking you to sort of do the equivalent. And it is obviously a hard thing to ask at this time when everyone is, lots of folks are suffering. But I guess the fundamental message is this is a time when you all don't live high on the hog over there, and this is a time when you need folks to step up.
Yeah, no question. Yeah, it is. I could not, I don't think, overstate that in our world. And like you said, we do recognize that there's a lot of pain and suffering out there, and we're not the only ones. But, for the people in this community that really care about our programs and our young people and how we're doing, And, you know, that you all know, you know, much better than me, because I haven't been here in up until about 9-10 months ago. But, you know, the momentum and the things that have been going on here have been incredible. You know, you look at the success, you know, particularly a couple of our high-profile sports, but others as well, and on campus and, you know, in the university. There's so many positive things going right now. It's just really critical that we manage this the right way, because I truly believe we have an opportunity to come out of this on the other side stronger. But how we handle this and how people support us is going to determine our future. And we need people to step up and you know, help us keep Memphis roaring.
Laird, thanks very much, and best of luck with it. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Jeff. Yep. I really appreciate it. Thank you.
Let's take a real quick break, come back, we'll talk about it on the other side. It's Jeff Calkins Show. Thanks to Laird Veach. We'll talk about this when we return. 92.9 FM ESPN.
Hi, I'm a 2020 census taker. As I walk around your neighborhood, you'll see my census bag and ID badge. I'll also be wearing a mask and following local guidelines for everyone's safety. And behind other census taker masks, you'll find new graduates wanting to make a difference. Retirees or veterans giving back to their community. People committed to doing right by getting the nation's count right. We're coming to assist anyone who hasn't completed the census yet. We'll stop by to ask some simple questions that will impact funding and planning for things like healthcare, emergency services, education, and job training, along with determining congressional representation for the next 10 years. But right now is your chance to make a big difference. So come out and say hi at a safe distance. Time is running out, but there's still time to shape your future. Start here at 2020census.gov. Paid for by U.S. Census Bureau.
Reaching out to a friend about their mental health can feel awkward, which is why it helps to have something to break the ice. You could go for a walk or grab a slice of pizza. And if you're not driving, you could even use this commercial break to text them. See? That was easy. Reach out to a friend about their mental health. Find more ways to help at seizetheawkward.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council, American Foundation for Suicide Prevention, and the Jed Foundation.
Go back in time with Radio.com Rewind. And just so you know, no DeLorean necessary. All you need is the Radio.com app. You can pause and rewind your favorite news and sports stations when you listen on Radio.com and the Radio.com app. Take a short trip 15 seconds back, start your favorite show over, or travel a whole 24 hours back in time. Great Scott! Radio.com Rewind will change the way you listen to radio forever. Yeah, that sounds like hype, but we're serious. Check it out and time travel today. Radio.com Rewind. Plutonium optional.
We have a job to do. To protect the peace, the pride, and the people of our city. To realize our greatness together. To do the work that matters. For ourselves, our families, our community. Do you have the strength to serve? Learn the true value of a challenging and rewarding career in law enforcement with the Memphis Police Department. Join the best in blue. Visit joinmpd.com.
This is Todd Thomas. You might know me as that one guy always pumping up the crowd at Busch Stadium. Well, even though we're all avoiding large crowds, you can still have lots of fun re-exploring St. Louis responsibly. Pack a picnic and head to Longmire Sculpture Park. Visit the nationally recognized St. Louis Zoo and Sea Lion Sound, or cool down with a trip to Ted Drew's Frozen Custard on historic Route 66. And don't forget to wear your masks. Book your trip today at ExploreSt.Louis.com.
And now a game of Commercial Chicken, brought to you by Progressive, where we see how long Flo can go without talking about insurance. Ready? Go.
So, traffic has been crazy lately, right? And rush hour? Forget it. Nobody wants to let you merge onto the highway. But hey, somebody let you merge or you wouldn't be there. So drivers who switch to Progressive could save big.
Okay, you win. We can't help but save customers money. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates.
Morning.
How'd you get in my house?
Me? Through the air conditioning vent. It's dark in there.
Go away.
How about some Honey Nut Cheerios?
Cheerios. Do I look like a child to you?
Honey Nut Cheerios are tasty and can help lower cholesterol as part of a heart-healthy diet. Did you just
No.
I'm pretty sure I heard a
It was my dryer.
You might want to get that thing checked out.
Have a change of heart. Honey Nut Cheerios. Learn more about Honey Nut Cheerios by picking up a box at your local store.
Broadcasting live from the Triumph Bank Studios, invested in our communities, making banking easy for you. Let's talk growth. Triumph Bank. It's the Jeff Calkins Show on 92.9 FM ESPN.
Waiting around through ups and downs, waiting on something to happen. I just said,
Jeff Calkins Show. Let's get to the one story you're waiting for.
It's that time again on 92.9. Jeff and Jeffrey have kept you hanging long enough. It is, at long last, the one story you've been waiting for.
So we had Laird Veach on just now. I got to tell you, I think the world of college athletics can be extraordinarily slimy at times. I think that's a good guy.
I agree.
I just do. Like, I think he legit cares about the students.
I think he was trying to give honest answers. I didn't feel at any point he was trying to mislead or, you know, use careful language. I thought he was being very upfront and honest, and I find that refreshing.
17, I think he said. They've had 17 positive
473
tests.
17 positives, the best of his knowledge, all have recovered.
Yep. And here's the problem that they're faced with. He also said he doesn't think they're going to play 11 games.
Yes.
You know,
based on the factors, he said he thinks it's going to be
very
difficult.
Like, he's not lying to you, you know?
No.
And so I just thought, like, so no, they're not going to probably get 11 games in. And so here's the problem. They're facing dire financial challenges. Dire. They can only fit 4,500 people in the Liberty Bowl with the 12 feet social distancing, which is what they have right now. If it was 6 feet, you'd all get in. All the season ticket holders. If it's not. It's 12. So 4,500, by the time you go families, recruits, and students, that takes you down to half that, he said. About half that. The number's rough because it depends how big the groups are, et cetera. Okay? So you about half that. And no one's going to be sitting where they thought they were going to be sitting. You know, people are going to be all over the stadium. Some people are going to be at the top rung of the stadium, right? Top row.
Sure.
And so they're desperate. And here's what they're saying. If you would just, the money you've already coughed up, if you leave it with the university, they will try to make it worth your while.
Yes.
You'll get in to see at least one game. You will get assorted other perks, priority for next year, whatever. You get other perks heading into next year.
If you asked me, I would expect ticket prices next year will go up.
And their tickets are going to be frozen.
Correct.
You have the same price. I think you said 110%. I don't know. You can read the fine print. It's there.
I've tweeted out this.
They're trying to give you everything you got, including, a mini Cotton Bowl helmet. Like, they're just desperate for you to leave your money with them. You can, by the way, another option is to take the money and apply it to next year, which at least will help them with cash flow issues, right? But if you want, and of course they should say, there will be, you can ask for your money back.
Sure.
And that's,
you have every right to leave do that.
They have every right to do that. But
they
it's
can't
like
provide
I said before,
tickets, yeah.
In the end, they call it keep Memphis roaring. Yeah. It's keep Memphis alive.
Yes.
Is really the issue here. It's keep Memphis alive. And I don't know. Like, has Memphis basketball meant something to you? Because we're not talking just football here. We're talking about the athletic department.
Yes.
Has Memphis basketball meant something to you over the years? Has Memphis football meant something to you over the years? Has the institution meant something to you over the years? If so, and if you have it, the ability to do it, they would like you to stand up for, help them out. And because in the end, like I said, there will be institutions and entities and businesses that will not be here on the other side of this. And it's partly up to you what Memphis Tiger Athletics will look like. And again, if you ask for the money back, I'm not judging you at all.
Every right to do that.
Absolutely. Not at all. But I also understand the request. And I think it's a perfectly legitimate request. In the end, we will support what we value, and particularly in difficult times. So y'all are free to make your decision. I appreciate Laird coming on and explaining it to you to everyone. What's coming up next?
Here's what's coming up next.
Jeff, here's what's coming up next on Jason and John. They're going to be joined by Kurt Heelan of Pro Basketball Talk at 11:25. New ESPN radio personality as well as former WNBA player Shine Ogunwike is going to join them at 12:25. Jeff joins at 1:25. Laird Veach will join us on Giannotto and Jeffrey at 2:25. Jason Smith will join at 3:25. Jeff will join GP at 5 o'clock.
Thanks for listening, everybody. We got to get out of here. Back tomorrow. Work is done.
The Mid-South's number one for sports. WMFS-FM and HD1 Bartlett. WMFS Memphis. On the radio.com live and rewind anytime. Smart speakers just say play 92.9 ESPN.
Hey, guy trying to shingle his own roof.
Yeah.
Don't you have a degree in business?
Why, yes, I do.
Why are you trying to remodel your own roof?
I figured I could save some money.
Do you really know what you're doing?
I watch some videos.
Are you warranting your own work?
Can I do that?
Looks like you need to replace some wood as well.
It's okay.
Exactly. Call Bennett Roofing. With over 20 years' experience, they make sure your roofing work is done right. Call 901-359-9708 or BennettRoofingMemphis.com.
I'm United States Surgeon General Jerome Adams, America's doctor. And all across our nation, we've taken steps together to slow the spread of coronavirus. Now we must continue to take personal responsibility to protect ourselves and our loved ones. Because even though not all of us risk a severe case of...
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.